All right. Let's go. Come on, Paula.
Okay. Madam Chair, point of order.
I saw a lot of people for public comment.
I have a point of order based on the previous comment, Madam Chair. Well, Madam Chair, it's important to note that there are no candidates, official candidates. There's no official campaign going on now. No one has been certified as a candidate.
Thank you. Public comment.
Okay. Public comments. I did see Ms. PK's hand up. Ms. PK, if you could go ahead, please.
Thank you, dear. I appreciate it so much.
People that have to speak.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
It's interesting because it seems like when people ask for peace and ask that certain people do things properly or without passion or emotion, it's so that you can feel better. And I agree wholeheartedly with the last statement that Alberto made. Because I wonder why people who are guilty of microaggressions, implicit biases, or gaslighting want to say that it's something else. For the public record, BIPOC voices were not afforded the opportunity to address their listeners prior to this vote for the referendum. Individuals lost or had their shows removed to HD. And obviously, because the numbers do not lie, that there were those who benefited from yes and those who were penalized. Accusing a group of people who didn't like how things happened of violent reactions actually makes it dangerous for people of color. And that's why police sit on our necks and don't let us breathe. And now we know that some people on the LSB had the ear of Mr. Bays, while the people who were most affected by the changes were not. If we're going to build up the membership and therefore the sustainability of our station, we must address the elephant in the room. When someone says we need to act respectfully while individuals are illegally removed from positions, the police called on people who were doing a good job, and then say to us that we don't have the right to complain, that's racism. We, the BIPOC community, have asked you to hear us, to understand that the system of racism that permeates the station will have to stop if you want the station to go forward. So here's my question to every LSB member on the call today. Are you committed to an anti-racist platform for KPFT? Organizations and corporations all across America are committing to anti-racist platforms, which means you have to learn what that means and how to make it happen. So I'd like for those who are committed to an anti-racist platform to put their name and say, I am committed. That's all I want you to do. I am committed, and put your name down. We'll see what happens, because every time I've asked that, it's been a handful of people. Most of you don't want to do it because you would have to address yourself.
Next person.
Okay. The next person I see here, is that Courtney Wilson? Courtney Wilson.
Yes, that's me. I'm going to put my hand down. Thank you for this opportunity to speak. I'm going to switch gears a little bit from the conversation that we've been having. I have a question, and I am going to call names because I understand that in public comment, there's not going to be a response. And so I'm going to ask either V or Dwayne Lark, if you can help me get an answer to this question, I'd really appreciate it. Currently right now, I am a programmer, and with the maybe being gone or not being gone, I'm not sure, of the general manager, the way we submit our shows to go on the air has serious problems currently. I've spoken with several programmers who their show, like they submit a new show, but a new show doesn't play. They've been playing the same show for weeks. And if the GM is leaving, we don't know. As first of all, the programmers have not been addressed. And second of all, as programmers, we don't know how to submit. Like, do we keep the same system or like, we don't know what to do. And if there is an issue, like if you are submitting and then your show is not playing, who do we contact? Because we don't have that information either. And since we won't be going back into the station, and there's not a physical place for us to go and speak with somebody, we don't know who to go to. And we need that addressed immediately. Also, as far as the, elections go, there is a individual, again, V and Dwayne Lark, if you can help get this information, a Colby individual, I don't know his last name, that person has never responded to us on any emails. My issue was resolved, but it was resolved by a person named Steve, and I just want to know, is this Colby person still being paid for a job that he is not currently doing? And I will let the rest of my time go. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, the next person I have is Chavez Watson. Chavez Watson.
Hey, y'all, one second. I want to be somewhat professional before y'all, best as I can. Take my do-rag off. Been a long day. Good evening to you all. Can I be heard? I'm not sure if I can.
Yes, we can hear you.
Great. Thanks for confirming. Again, good evening to you all. I'm Chavez Watson, community advocate and activist, as well as a business owner in both the Houston and Austin area. Thank you for holding this space this evening. I see that KPFT is experiencing some changes and adjustments, but with everything I've heard thus far, I hope the station remains alive and continues being present on the dial. I hear justice being spoken of from many of you that have spoken. As a Baylor University graduate and UT magistrate, I've been on all sides of the spectrum. You know, that provides me with a wealth of information and experience to be before you tonight. And, you know, again, I thank you for your time. I've been a listener of KPFT and the prison show for many years now, and I hope all of you can embrace this share. Even though I've succeeded academically, I've made many mistakes, ones that perhaps others have made before, so maybe you know how this goes. In 2019, I was arrested for a felony charge in which I was innocent of. But being a probationer, my bail was set excessively high against my Eighth Amendment rights. And on my 14th day of being locked up in 2019, knowing that I was innocent of the charge, I made a decision not to play sports or games or talk shit or hog the phone, but to learn the law. I did 378 days. I ended up going to TDC for the charge, and that was only because COVID-19 had stopped the courts and backlogged the dockets. I had proven in several hearings that not only we had met the heavy burden before us of proof, but we had also proven that my accuser had lied on so many different angles. I was able to bounce back from $150,000 in bond by not only learning Chapter 17 of the Texas Code of Criminal Procedure, but representing myself pro se and testifying on my behalf. I still had to go to TDC. COVID had come in February, and they had told me that my next hearing would be a year and a half from now. So I made the, you know, I played my poker card the best I could and went to TDC anyway. Well, in the 378 days I was locked up from 2019 to May 7th of last year, I worked on over 400 cases while being, as y'all have probably heard on the prison show from a few, a jailhouse lawyer. This was at the same time that For Life was on the ABC network with Aaron Wallace and showing kind of how things can go in the county or prison facility with somebody who dedicates, that looks within and makes the changes. So I came back May 7th. When I was released from Williamson County, I think the Most High upstairs did 300 push-ups. I've been running ever since. But running through all of the hurdles that many experience when they return from prison, I was the fastest individual in the city of Austin's history to get a job, not only in janitorial services, but in Austin Public Health. I created the WIC and the WIC. Obviously, some of you may have been a WIC client in years past.
All right, Ms. Watson.
Yes.
Can you get to your point?
I am, sister. Thank you again. But I beat the odds. That's what I'm trying to explain to you all, as some of you all are facing the same in this station. Beat the odds. Got off parole with no technical violations, warrants, or anything like that. And so I'd like to share with you that I'd like an opportunity, because I've heard that the prison show hasn't been so well performing in the last few years. I'd like an opportunity to maybe get a spot once a week or once a month where I could, you know, discuss prison related things, parole related things, reentry and emergence kind of concepts and ideas, that could not only create a new listener base for the prison show audience, but coincide with, you know, with what the prison team is already doing and bring some new recent experience to the table. You know, obviously what has been said on the call is that station's been underperforming, risking to remain. But, you know, again, I hope that y'all can, you know, sustain and make it through. Because, you know, some of us really love the station and love the show.
Okay.
My affiliation.
I hate to cut you off, but there are several people that have their hands up and we're kind of pressing
for
time.
Can I get one more minute?
If you can just put your information, maybe in the chat if you would like, and we can have the person that runs the prison show, the programmer, to get in contact
with
you. Better yet, send it to me privately. Send it to me privately.
I'm not quite sure who you are. I would like to finish. I just got 30 more seconds. I mean,
well, you gotta finish.
Quick.
Well, yeah, I mean, I've heard all y'all speak as well. Some folks just didn't have enough to say.
Okay, go ahead, Mr. Travis, please. Go ahead.
Thank you very much. My affiliation with the community here in Houston is with some very strong groups, the Community Action Collective, Pure Justice, and some others. And I'd like to leverage that kind of connection and connectivity to build the audience, but also purchase with the listeners, not only with the prison show, but with other KPFT listeners. Things that I could do in the future, if given the opportunity to be a part of team producing this program, would be fantastic. Again, I'd love to follow up with each of you.
That's 30 seconds.
Thank you, Mr.
Finish. Y'all have a great one. Thank you again. Bye-bye.
Madam Chair, how many speakers do you have to speak at public comment?
We have quite a few hands up, quite a few. So
how many?
The next person I want to go ahead and call is Ms. Lopez. Ms. Lopez.
Oh, we got a...
That's fine, but this isn't going to count as my time. I want to know how much each of us have to talk.
Yeah, that's appropriate. Thank you.
Probably about 1 or 2 minutes.
Well, let's figure it out. How many are on the line and how much time do we have?
If you want to speak, Ms. Lopez, could you please go ahead and speak at this time?
I want to know how much time we have.
Going to have about 4 minutes.
Thank you. All right. Now, the reason I'm calling in, I am a former KPFT, been active, like, on the board, LSB, been there for 8 years, programmer for over 15 years. I wanted to call and ask you guys, as a board, what is being done in response to the terrible marketing decision that was made with removing black and brown programmers off the air when the whole world, the whole media world was here because of George Floyd's first year anniversary of his death. Like, everybody's talking about racial politics or the racial condition of the United States. That's like the hot topic. And our station, who wants to gain media attention and money, removes all the black and brown programmers. I mean, yeah, that's a way to get attention. But y'all guys haven't even acknowledged the data that shows the erasure that was put out on the internet. And I'm just here to say what's been done, because silence is complicity. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, the next person I have is Mr. Bravo. Mr. Bravo?
I appreciate it very much. And, Mr. Watson, congratulations on your journey. Thank you so much for, you know, sharing your story. And I really hope that I do hear your voice on KPFT. You know, hopefully, that will happen now that there appears to be a change. I think it's ironic that we should consider feelings right now when on May 25th and on June 1st, feelings were not considered for the over 20 shows that were removed without explanation. And then people want to talk about respect, but is it respectful to just remove shows with no explanation? No, nobody was given any metrics. Nobody was given any viable cause. We had shows that have been there for years. No, nobody said nothing. Talking about communication, I received emails from this individual right from when they got here. He had my email address. Talking about, oh, I couldn't contact everybody. You emailed me 29 times before that. I even replied to the emails. You can see it on my, on that Boogeyman website that y'all are, you know, kind of scared to talk about or whatever. But at the end of the day, I find it ironic that people knew that so many BIPOC shows were removed, but they were silent. But now people are angry and they're angry that we're not quiet. And now they want to speak up about respectability and talking about praise and talking about, you know, the great things that were done and this and that. But nobody ever spoke about the erasure that happened. You know, silence is complicity, y'all. I'm just letting y'all know right now that people will not be quiet, and you're either going to speak up or you're going to be held accountable. And that's really what it is. That's what all this is about. Because when people are mad at a website, what you're really mad about is the empirical data, not emotion, that it laid out. It laid out a website that laid out the historical, the implemented, and the current changes that affected BIPOC voices. You're mad at a website that was just a mirror. It was a reflection of the systemic inequities that are here in KPFT. So look, I know that none of y'all on the board, or the majority of y'all, are not going to respond to this, and that's cool, because the majority of the folks on the board hide behind these hierarchies in this meeting, and then they weaponize Robert's Rules of Order to, you know, just create chaos. And that's cool too. But at the end of the day, people will be held accountable. People will know the stances, and we're going to find out. That's all it is. My name is Rodrigo Bravo. I'm done speaking.
Thank you, Mr. Bravo. Next I have Ms. Angela, Houston Media, India Media. Ms. Angela?
Yes, good evening. Thank you for giving me time tonight. As you said, yes, my name is Angela Sanchez de Bravo. I am a programmer on Houston Indie Media. And I'm here tonight again to echo what some of the other folks have mentioned here tonight. Asking again, because the last time I was here, I shared our story about Houston Indie Media. I shared the stories of all our Spanish-speaking programmers, of all the BIPOC programs that were moved either completely off FM or just erased. Nothing was done. No one has reached out. Nothing has been rectified. Our show is currently still not on the air. We're not sure if it's going to be back on, how we would even deliver that show, if we would even do that. We're not going to mention names, but if we are grading someone that was in charge of all these changes, and he's being praised for the job that he did, but he has left the relationship with his programmers, the programmers, the ones that create, you know, the programs that are on the station that some folks on this LSB and for the last few decades have been fighting about those airwaves. We're the ones that provide that material. We're the ones that bring those community folks. We're the ones that bring those members. And those voices have been erased, ignored, and disrespected. So when we talk about, I don't know, let's see, I won't mention names, but she knows who she is, when she said we shouldn't be flapping our mouths. Well, sorry. You guys have been flapping your mouths in disrespectful, racist, and dismissive ways for way too long. And so many of us have been taking the high road, and you can smirk on camera if you like, but you know what's true. So when we talk about politics of respectability, yes, I echo what some of the other folks have said here about, please look at yourself. And I've been on that side where you're on too. I've been on that board. And I know those conversations that are had. So I'm not making things up. I'm not pointing fingers. I know those machinations that are going on.
Okay.
But I would like to point out, because I know that it is coming up later in the meeting, and I wanted to voice my discontent, and really, it's about us flapping our mouths. If this is the only time, if you don't listen to the information that we as community members give through our CAB on what this community really wants from this radio station, if you guys want to ignore all of that, then the community speaking time is all we have to, on the record, voice our concern we have. And it should not be up for policing. And it should not be.
I do apologize, but I have several other people that want to speak.
She only had 3 minutes. She has another minute.
Excuse me. I'm watching time here. Thank you very kindly.
I am on the side. She's only had 3 minutes.
I'm watching time. Thank you.
Well, you're doing it wrong.
Okay. Moving on to Ms. Akuri. I'm not sure how to pronounce that. A-K-U-A.
It's Akua. Thank you. A-K-U-A. Akua. Thank you. Okay. Greetings to everyone. And I also want to acknowledge the deaths of so many Black and brown people in Houston from COVID. And one of the early first people to pass away was our dear friend Keith Wade, who worked in the mayor's office for many years and had been around throughout the community trying to find out who needed what and who needed help, and he passed away. Why am I saying that? I'm saying because something is amiss here. We're in the middle of a pandemic. We're in the middle of a state that's denying people the right to vote only in the big cities, and we have state legislators hiding out, well, not hiding out, but fighting for voting rights in Washington, D.C., and we're mired in a person who left a wake of controversy, and he's gone to a better job. And there are people on this board concerned about whether someone disparaged him or not. So you think about that, and you think about what the real issues are that we're dealing with in Houston right now and what's important. Is it important that George Floyd's house, where he grew up, is 15 minutes away from KPFT, and we don't cover that story, but the Washington Post is flying people in to find out about George Floyd and who he was and what he's doing, and our competitors down the street, NPR, they're covering the story, raising all kinds of crazy money behind social justice work, and this is who we are and what we do. I say that we can walk and chew gum. We can have music, but it must be diverse, and we can have public affairs. And that too has to be diverse. That reflects the population of the city. It's just science. It's numbers. But if you're asking the same people to contribute over and over again, it's not sustainable. As I said during our last conversation, been there, done that. We've been there, done that. We've tried an all music format. It did not dig us out the hole. We went deeper into the hole. So we need fresh ideas. We need new leadership. We need money. We need resources. But most of all, for the people who are calling for peace, you be the peace that you want to see on this board. You be that first, and then call for peace. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Mr. Tom, if you can go ahead, please.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. People of the board, let me advise you of one thing and one thing only. We all need to work together as a team. We need to stop pulling out the race card. We need to stop the hate. Stop the violence and stick to the mission of KPFT. This is a community public radio station. This is not a dictatorship. This is not anybody's feelings are getting hurt. We all need to work together as a team. And that's it. That's all there is to it. Why can't you people work together? Why can't you all come together in harmony? Why do we have to run off general managers? What is the purpose of this? Because you don't get your way? Because your radio, because your program got pulled? Because you violated FCC regulation? What kind of a radio station are we running here? We need to stop the BS. It's just that simple. There are not, no racism involved. We all are one color. We all bleed red. Y'all can't understand that? I'm sorry. But everybody on KPFT, everybody, all programs, everybody, okay, needs to work together and keep this radio station going. Now, where are we at? We have no leadership. We have nobody, okay? We have no program, direction, program. We have no general manager. We have people that are trying to keep this station alive. We have volunteers that are working their butt off to keep this station going. I've been with KPFT for close to 5 years now. I was brought on here by Ray Hill and Mike Lewis. And I'm proud to be a member, okay, of KPFT. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Tom. Okay. We have about 3 minutes left, Madam Chair, about 3 minutes. I see Ms. Courtney Wilson. Did I not take your hand down, or is your hand up a second time, Ms. Wilson?
My hand is up a second time.
Okay. All right. We have about 3 minutes. Go ahead, Ms. Wilson.
Okay. I just dropped my phone. Sorry.
There's a Ms. Paulina on the stack.
I just wanted to say that I resent the idea that anyone's bringing up a race card. When you look at the facts of what happened, it was done along the lines of race and language. I also resent the idea that because people lost their shows, that somehow the blame is on those that lost their shows, that this mythical idea that someone was attacking the general manager. If somebody could just show me the evidence, the who, what, when, and where, show me the police reports, show me what happened, and then, you know, I do not condone violence, I do not condone aggression in that way, or shape or form. So if you guys can just show us the proof, we will gladly admit, stand against that kind of behavior, because I know I haven't done anything like that, and I know the people that I work with haven't done anything like that. So if you can show us the proof that the general manager was attacked by someone that lost a show, that would be really great. We want to work together. We've tried to work together, and it's really interesting that people who in their own lives don't necessarily work with other people are calling out folks, programmers, not trying to work together. I couldn't leave without saying that.
I do apologize, but the time now is 8:30.
Hold on for a second.
Okay.
Somebody give me a motion to extend a public comment.
Adriana,
I move to stand
10 minutes.
Okay, Paulina, next up.
Thank you, Madam Chair, for recognizing me. I am Paulina Vasiliev. For those of you who may not have met me before, I'm the Pacifica Foundation Secretary. I'm also a member of the KPFK Local Station Board. I'm also a Spanish language programmer on KPFK, and I am part of the production team of COVID Race and Democracy, Pacifica's national show that also airs on KPFT. Okay. Am I heard? Okay. And first off, I would like to thank those KPFT Houston members, staff who voted no in the New Day Pacifica bylaws referendum. And I invite those of you who voted yes for the proposed changes to work together with the rest of Pacifica to address the real causes of Pacifica's problems. Our website is pacificafightback.org. It's a good way to be informed as to the no perspective and work towards a community solution to the issues that divide us. Now, I would also very much like to express my personal support and on behalf of the Spanish Language Programmers Association, express support for the communities served by the programs which have been, without process, swept off the radio entirely, Spanish language, English, communities of color, underserved communities, underprivileged communities, for whom the mission of this foundation, who our mission is to serve those communities, all of the communities, not all communities are being treated equally. Some were driven onto the HD, which we all know is not the same as being on FM, and it's not reaching the same audiences. So I just wanted to say that on behalf of my colleagues at KPFK, we are with Houston, and whatever you need us for in terms of the support you may need nationwide in ours. Just want to express again my strong support, our strong support for the communities served by Houston's programming, and hope that this is addressed promptly. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Paulina. I see Mr. Bravo, his head is up again.
Okay. I'm very sorry, Paula. May I interrupt? Paula, I forgot to add something.
Sorry. Jacqueline is next.
Okay. Go ahead, Paulina, Ms. Jacqueline.
I can wait for the end. I just wanted to add 30 seconds.
Ms. Jacqueline, go ahead, please.
You want to finish, Paulina?
Paulina, go on and finish.
Okay. Jacqueline, may I? Okay. I wanted to give some good news. We, thank at the you. National level, we received news from our auditor. They are going to issue a new audit, and Pacifica is not going to be a, receive the, basically they're taking back the qualification of opinion. They're going to give us a positive grade for the first time in years. So bravo. Yay. To people on the national board, to the audit committee, to everybody who's been working. Pacifica is getting a grade as opposed to no opinion because we don't know. Okay. So congratulations to us folks. Okay.
All right.
Thank you. Okay.
Jacqueline.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for that. I wasn't planning to talk, but I'm going to say one thing. I have one. What?
I have one.
I have a point I want to make, that this isn't good enough. We need the kind of meeting where the questions that are raised are answered. This is easy. The board just sits there and listens and then moves on. It's like what happened when the programming was changed overnight, where people were disrespected and were not even given a notice that their shows were gone and couldn't even say goodbye or tell their audience what happened to them. Because, and then if you go to the manager, well, we had a meeting. We had a Zoom meeting. And not everybody got to be able to be at that Zoom meeting, and that Zoom meeting did not explain anything about the real changes that they or he already knew was going to happen. He knew what was going to happen. He knew that this, and many people, this is an axe, you know, he was like the axe man. This has happened before to Pacifica. This happened before to KPFT. This is part of the history. This is what happened to KPFT when it got took over, and so-called people with the, who thought they were better at doing radio, decided they were the better and tried to take it over. So this is a repeat of some people who probably have good intentions. Come back to the community. This is supposed to be a community station, and we're not reflecting that. We don't reflect that. And the board, this board has been, most of the board has been there since forever. So all of this that they say is wrong with the station has happened under their watch. And that's all I have to say. I'm Jacqueline Batiste, People of Earth.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Yeah. has his hand up again.
I appreciate it. I'll only take 30 seconds. I do find it remarkable that people suddenly find their voice when last month when the board meeting, we had the board meeting, nobody spoke up about the erasure. Now suddenly people want to talk about unity, but last month nobody spoke up on the lack of leadership. People want to say, oh, we should come together and this and that, but nobody came together in defense of the erasure that happened on the station. You know, people are willing to go on the newspaper, on NPR to talk about buildings being sold, but they're not willing to talk about the erasure of black and brown voices. They're willing to go on Facebook and make their comments. They're willing to be here on the board and talk about, oh, this and that, but they're not willing to talk about the erasure that happened. So when people tell me like, oh, you know, we need to come together, we need to do this and that. Yeah, that boat set sail a long time ago, bro. It's too late. We already passed that station. We're going to make sure that we do the best to make sure and right this ship that's KPFT and make sure that the voices that are supposed to be represented, as duly noted by Paulina in the mission statement on Pacifica, which is copied on KPFT's website, says it's supposed to represent the community and reflect it. It's not doing that right now. Thank you for allowing me to share again. My name is Rodrigo Bravo and I'm done speaking.
Okay, thank you. All right. Madam Chair, I'm looking down the line. I think that is it for public comments. Yes, ma'am. That's it, Madam Chair.
Okay. Adriana, go ahead.
Yes. First of all, little things that I want to remind everybody. I really appreciate how our community get up and stand up. And even in this small, but at least it's something, this space, you came and you talk the truth. Every time, it's something that always called my attention. I'm sorry for my strong accent, but you know, English is not my first language. But every time that somebody said that they are colorblind or they talk about unity, it happened that they are not. The small communities that are being affected. People are not. Now everybody talks about unity, and it's true. We deprive those programs. We went there, we do all of that, and we are
praising
people. I don't want to talk about people. I mean, like I said, like GM, sorry, that is not my problem. But what I'm saying is, it's important that the community stand there. I'm sorry, Bill, but maybe.
You're not public.
She's here.
Public comment is over with. I guess you guys did not hear when Paula said it was over.
Madam Chair, I want to call the attention to something else. I was checking the website, and we, during 2020, we have only some minutes posted there. In 2024, in this year, we don't have any minutes posted in the website. We have in March 10, we have not even an audio archive.
We addressed we addressed it before you came into the meeting. Bill is supposed to correct that in the next 30 days.
Yeah, but we were talking that last year too.
I know. Well, last year Bill was not the secretary, so Bill can't correct last year. He can only correct this year.
Okay, so it's in January till June.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
He said that it would be up in 30 days.
And what happened with the audios that are not there, like March 10th?
The audio caller turns that in every day, so every meeting. So who's responsible for putting that up?
Paula, you gave it to Otis? To Bill, to whom?
To Otis.
To Otis. Okay, we need to remind him that March 10 are not there, and a bunch of audios for last month, they are not there. That is a problem of accountability, you know?
Right.
When the audio is not there, people cannot see what is going on in our meetings. They don't know, and that's why it's so important that the last meetings, the audios were there, because in the national level, they can see how people came to public comment and spoke what they want to say.
Right.
That's why it's important, is accountability. be there. Have the audios there for everybody to reach it.
And so, can I say something to that? Because everybody always says, now I know for a fact, because this has been going on since October when I took over as chair. Every time this meeting is over with, by the next day, and Paula does this because she CCs me every time she sends it to Otis. People have to do their jobs. So Paula does her job. When Paula finishes this meeting tonight, that audio is going to Otis, and she CCs me. So I know that's been happening since I've been the chair. I can't talk about nobody else. Now, I don't put anything on there. That's Otis's job. So people just need to do their job. I just think they need to do their job. And you know what? Like somebody told me, I can't make grown people do that what they're supposed to do. I'm just going to say that like that.
Madam Chair, this is Patel Adams.
Go ahead.
Would it be appropriate, in light of what a lot of people have shared during public comment, expressing their grievances over the schedule change, and obviously with the sudden departure of our old GM, would it be appropriate for us to have an executive session or maybe an emergency meeting tomorrow?
Let me just say this. I'm not going to step into that because I'm not Pacifica. Now, from what I was told, they have hired a general manager. So you guys just going to have to wait until the new general manager introduces himself. Now, maybe the PNB people, directors, can speak more to that when they give their reports. But I was told that there's a new general manager that has been hired. I don't know exactly what day he's starting, but I'm sure he's starting any time now. So I'm not going to personally, that's above my pay grade. Because nobody listens to me. Nobody listens to me anyway. They do what they
Also the point of order is the program, the grid change. A lot of people tonight and even last month expressed that they have grievances over that. So maybe we should have an emergency meeting about the grid change.
Okay. Everybody knows what their problem is and everybody knows what their grievance is. Let me just say this. Please put it in writing. Send it to gm@kpft.org. That is not going to David Bays. He's not opening that no more. So whoever the new general manager is will be the person that opens gm@kpft.org. Put down what it is that you need to say or whatever your grievance is, put it in writing and say, that's the only thing I can tell you to do. Because right now, I don't even know who to answer to. I'm being real serious with you. I don't know. I know they've hired a person. I don't know what the person's name is. I don't know where he's from. That's all I know. So if I don't know it, I know you don't know it. I've heard everything everybody has said. I put in the chat for those because a question was asked, which was a great question. When I find out, and I said the same thing that I'm saying now, put your grievances down, send them to gm@kpft.org.
And CC the PNB.
Oh.
CC the
PNB. CC the PNB.
Madam Chair.
Nobody on this board can answer your questions. Let me just be real right now. And I'm not trying to speak. I know we don't answer and all this stuff, but there comes a time when you need to answer. And people want to hear some answers. Right now, nobody on this board can make a decision about anything. That's not in our power. Nobody on this board. The only person that can make that decision address whatever. Let me just say address. It's the general manager. I don't know who the general manager is. I know that there is one. I don't know who it is. The other question
Okay. You're the chair of the board.
Madam Chair, may I say
Madam
something?
Chair, Mr. The Spill.
Don't even go there trying to attack me. when I wasn't even the first person that knew he left.
I don't think anyone's attacking you. It's just not okay to not say anything.
That's why.
No, I mean, it's not okay for them not to tell you. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, and then,
you know, I think we should know too. That's all I meant.
I agree with you 100%.
Bill for the stack.
Somebody needs to tell the programmers. You know, I mean, it's just like, what? Jeez. Okay, I'm out.
No, it's okay. Because the reason why I said that is because I want the programmers to know you're not the only one that's blindsided. I don't know what's going on, and I'm the chair. Let me say it again. I don't know what's going on, and I'm the chair. So the best way to address this is send it to Jim at kpft.org. Like Adriana say, CC it to the Pacifica. If you want to CC it to me, CC it to me. If you know my reputation, you know I keep every document. I will send it to the right person. But right now, I don't know who to send it to. And I'm just being real with you. I heard everybody's questions. The other question that I wanted to address, because I addressed it in the chat, let me address it verbally for the recording. What do we do about our programs? Do we still send them to the same place that we were sending them? I don't know where you were sending them. My suggestion is you send them to GM at kpft.org. My suggestion is that you do the exact same thing that you have been doing. I don't know who's going to pick that up.
He sent them an email saying the address, I think. Didn't you guys get one?
I will send it. You say send an email saying just what I said?
No, saying
nobody
that,
has seen
that.
Dwayne Larkin, the stack, please. Dwayne Larkin.
Well, my son's a programmer, so I saw an email that said that you should send him to. It was something like,
well, I'm glad your son got that email. Everybody didn't get that email. The programmers on the call did not get that email.
Wendy, can you send me
your email, Courtney?
Wendy.
Yeah, I'll send you that email. That it was about a week ago, I think. I don't know.
And I'll send it out. And those
thank you. And send it. Tell them to send it to all the programmers.
You need to send it to, because I don't have a list of all the programmers either.
Dwayne Larkin to the stack, Madam Chair.
Dwayne,
Robin does.
Got you. I hope I addressed everything I wanted to address, because I heard that there were some valid questions that were asked, and I agree with you. Yes, you guys ask us, you say things, and we're not supposed to answer, but when you ask a question, you want to. And I'm just trying to answer those questions that were asked in public comment, because they do need to be answered. So, Dwayne.
Okay, and Bill.
Thank you, Matt.
And I asked to be on the stack too.
Okay. And Bill, after you, the PNB directors, please give your reports. Dwayne.
That's what I was really suggesting we do now.
Dwayne.
Okay, thank you, Madam Chair.
You give your report as well.
Say again?
I said, when you're talking, give your report as well.
Well, I didn't want to give my report first. So if that's the requirement, I was asked two questions. I was asked two questions from public comment. It wasn't appropriate for me to respond, but I do have answers for them.
Okay,
so
go ahead
and let the other directors give their
report. Well, no, answer those, because we're talking about them, because I do believe that those questions in public comment need to be answered.
Okay, well, thank you, Madam Chair. To the question of who do you contact if you're a programmer and now you don't have a GM?
Mm-hmm.
Although I will make a comment that you would now not put it in the GM email, because it's probably going to get backed up, and the new GM may not go through so many emails that may be in that email trail. I would, if I was a programmer at this point,
I would too.
I would send the email to the ED. Now, I'm not guaranteeing you're going to get a response from her, but at least that's the chain up. Or if common knowledge would say that if you don't get a response from the ED, because he does use two or three different, whoever's doing that, can you have some decency and mute yourself?
Okay. Okay, go ahead.
All right. No, that intentional noise is still going on.
No, it's a feedback because it's doing it on me.
Yeah, I understand. But whoever it's coming from, I believe Paula should be able to see. Okay, stop. Thanks.
No, I can't, and I'm just muting people because I don't know who it is. It's someone's okay. Background.
What? Thank you, because at least it's not. They're not able to do it right now. So the question then ultimately is, you would need to wait till the new GM get on board before I would send an email, because you don't know how many emails going to get backed up because this new GM is not on board today. So I would send it to the ED. If you don't get a response, you're just not going to get a response. Until the second question that was asked. The idea that we don't have a PD, we haven't been able to afford a PD, that would have taken off some of the issue. Now, the LES has been responsive to me and a few other folk who are running for the position. So I would just tell you to take this email down. If you're using this email, I have no explanation for you why you haven't been able to get a response. But the email that he's responded to me on has been LES-2021KPFT@Pacifica.org. Again, that's, and I'll pull it in the chat, LES-2021KPFT@Pacifica.org. Thank you, Madam Chair.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Bill.
Sorry, it's having trouble in meeting. I just wanted us to go on to the next item on the agenda, the PNR reports, because we might get some answers to our questions then, too.
All right. What's the first one I always call? Sandra. Sandra. Lyndon. Wally.
Yes, Wally's here. This is Lyndon, and I'd like, and why is it Dwayne always gets to go last?
I have no idea, but we're not gonna
Well, first off, I don't get to, this guy has no problem lying. Oh. I don't
and,
get to and go
then,
last
and then,
all the time.
And then I would like to know if there's somebody that's still participating in this call who is not, a member of the LSB. I do believe somebody keeps.
Yeah. Bunch of programs.
Several times.
They have a right to listen, just like if we were in person.
I didn't say listen. They are talking. So, Paula, could you please see to that?
Well, please. I've been muting people, but they unmute themselves, and so I have to go back and mute them again. So, and I really don't know who is talking. I really don't.
Okay, I know it's hard to know everybody's voice. I do not have a report to give, but I will answer questions.
Well, thank you. Answer the questions. There's two major questions on the floor. Answer them.
I said I will take questions.
I'll take questions. Well, the two questions that are on the floor, Lyndon, is who is the new general manager, when do they start, and what are they supposed to do with their programs?
I believe I have not been told the name of the new general manager. And it was not given out to us because, it was not given out to us because I think that was discussed in executive session. So I can't exactly say.
Okay.
And I can't really say, when they're going to start because I haven't been explicitly told that.
Okay. And what are they supposed to do with their programs?
I don't have the faintest idea.
Venetia, can I ask a question?
Yes.
So this is all just so very odd that just like heard little things here and there and nothing official from anybody. But it would seem to me if the position was empty, then the LSB should be get their committee and form, you know, get create a pool of candidates to forward to the executive director. And so I don't know, is this the interim manager that Lydia's hiring?
Madam Chair, may I address that?
Dwayne, can you please address that?
Yes, I will. What we're calling,
Dwayne.
Okay, what we call this is governance, established governance of Pacifica. And so the IED consulted with the organization that actually does our HR for us, which you're probably familiar with since they've been on board for more than 2 years. And she was advised.
Heard their name, yeah.
Yeah, she was advised that because the list is not stale, that the list that was submitted by the MSRC and approved by the local station board, that she had the authority to choose from that short list. And that's what she did. So there was no need, according to our HR, for a new search because the last search was so fresh.
Well, I disagree, yeah. But okay, thank you. Now at least I know
that. You have the right to disagree. That's what the professionals. That's what the professionals say.
Adriana, I got it. Yeah, thanks, Dwayne.
Stop talking. You can go.
It's just a small thing because we know, all of us know, and the bylaws are very clear, we are not in charge of hiring.
Thank you.
We are not in charge of doing any of that. It's not up to us. And the HR and the executive director is the one in charge. We are not to be consulted. The only thing that we do is part of our job is create a pool of candidates that we did before. And I think that we cannot, they don't need to ask us what they will do. And they, when they were asking about the next interview, I'm totally sure that at the national level, that is being done. But it's not up to us. We are not a hiring body. We have nothing to do with HR. We have our duties and powers defined in the bylaws, and that is not one of them.
Excuse me one second. Paula, you're after Adriana. I'll be right back.
Thank you. Is Adriana finished or is she still speaking?
Yes. No, that's it. Okay. I want to clarify that those things that is not up to us and they don't need to ask us. Okay?
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair. As I have been told, I have been in communication with Mr. Bayes. Yes, I have. I was the first person that he contacted. Yes, I was. So yes, I'm the person that is behind the scene that know a lot of what's going on. So, I'm not sure if Ms. Sandra is on here, Ms. Rowland is on here or not, but as what I know, there is a new GM that has been hired. There will be a new GM starting very soon. He is wrapping up what he is doing at his prior employment. As far as what I know, the programmers are to continue sending their information to the drop boxes that they were instructed to send them to. Mr. Bayes will continue working those drop boxes until the new GM is fully on board. So nothing is to change at this time. Continue sending your information to those drop boxes and he will continue working them, putting them on air until the new GM is fully on board and has wrapped up everything that he needs to wrap up with his prior employment and get here to Houston. Now, as far as what I know, IED is working with Mr. Bayes and trying to get some things completed. What it is, I'm not sure, but they are working together to get some things completed. So if I was a programmer, I would continue sending my information over so that it could still be put on air because there is someone there that will continue to pick it up and put it in its designated spot. That's all I have to say.
Can I clarify, Paula?
Yes, yes,
can I clarify what I had? I need to correct myself anyway. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, I'm there. Go ahead.
Okay, well, I couldn't tell if you could hear me. So when I said that he had sent a new email address to send programs, that wasn't true. It just said, starting next Monday, the email to report programming issues or troubles with Dropbox will be kpftprograms@gmail.com. I'll still send it to Venetia, but it wasn't any new address to send the shows to that I thought I had seen. I was just wrong.
Okay, Madam Chair, Dwayne Lark.
Stop it. No.